going to be presenting on sexual risk behaviors and sexually transmitted disease testing among California adolescents, results from the 2005 California Health Interview Survey. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Joan Chow, Michael Samuel, and Gail Bullen. Annual chlamydia screening is recommended for all sexually active females age 25 and under, yet HEDIS data suggests that fewer than 50% are tested on an annual basis. Population-based data are an important component of efforts to assess and improve chlamydia screening, particularly at the state level. Yet until recently in California, state-specific population-based data on adolescent sexual risk behaviors and STD screening have been quite limited. For example, we've had the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, which, as many of you know, is a nationwide school-based survey. However, in California, it's been limited to four counties. We've also had the California Healthy Kids Survey, which is a statewide survey. However, it doesn't contain any sexual activity questions in its core module. So our study objective was to determine rates and correlates of STD testing among California adolescents using population-based data. And in particular, we wanted to look at demographic factors and sexual risk behaviors as predictors of STD testing to determine whether testing is occurring in appropriate subsets of high-risk adolescents. The data source we used is called the California Health Interview Survey, or CHIS. It's a new survey, began in 2001 by the UCLA Center for Health Policy Research. It's the largest survey of its kind. It's a population-based, random digit dial, statewide telephone survey of approximately 45,000 California households. It includes interviews with one adult, one adolescent, and one child from each household where available. And for the first time, it's given us statewide data on adolescent sexual behaviors and STD testing. The sample size is powered to enable stratification by race and ethnicity at the county level for adult respondents, although not necessarily for adolescent respondents. CHIS utilizes a multi-stage geographically stratified sampling scheme. In 2005, there were 500,000 households selected for random digit dial. Of those, 150,000 households had contact established with them, and of those, 74,000 completed what's called a screener interview, the purpose of which is to simply select one adult, one adolescent, and one child where available for interview. So the screener interview response rate was about half of those who had household contact established. Of those, 43,000 completed adult interviews, and of those, the response rate of that was 54%, and the denominator for that response rate is the number of completed screener interviews. Of those, 7,800 adolescents were sampled for interview from those 43,000 households where an adult completed an interview. In order for the adolescent to be interviewed, they had to obtain parental permission, so 5,200 of them did, and of those, 4,000 completed adolescent interviews for a response rate of 49%. The denominator for that response rate is the number of adolescents sampled, but if we use the parental permissions as the denominator, it's closer to 78%. So because we had all of this demographic data from the parents of adolescents, we were able to compare adolescent responders versus non-responders by the demographic characteristics of their parents in order to assess whether there was any bias due to non-response. And what we found was that parents of responders were slightly more likely to be white, 43% versus 34%. We also found that parents of responders were more likely to have a college degree. And this is statistically significant at the 0.05 level. However, you can see that the absolute percentages are not that different from one another. And finally, parents of responders were slightly less likely to have income below 200% of the federal poverty level, although again, these absolute percentages are not that different. For our final analysis, we further limited the study sample to those between the ages of 14 and 17. There are about 2,600 adolescents between those ages. And furthermore, in addition to having permission to answer, to respond to the survey at all, they had to obtain additional permission to answer questions regarding sexual behavior. And so that cut about another 50 adolescents out of the sample. And finally, we limited our sample to those who reported having sexual intercourse in the past year for a final study sample size of 229 females and 254 males. This represents 20% approximately of the sampled adolescents. These are the demographic characteristics of the final study sample. Mean age was 16. Race and ethnicity was approximately equally distributed between white and Hispanic, about 40% each, with most of the remaining respondents being African American. Approximately 40% were below 200% of the federal poverty level. And a majority of participants had employment-based insurance coverage through their parents, slightly more males than females, and about a third of respondents had Medicaid-equivalent coverage, slightly more females than males. Small percentages of both were uninsured. So the question was posed to all respondents, all sexually active respondents, thinking about other sexually transmitted diseases besides HIV, in the past 12 months, have you ever been tested for a sexually transmitted disease? And the percentage of respondents reporting yes is here on the x-axis. So as you can see, overall, 17% of males and 42% of females reported that they had been tested for an STD other than HIV in the past year. We also looked at these by sexual risk factors, and as you can see, those who reported being under age 15 at first sex, 27% of males and 57% of females reported testing in the past year. Of those who reported having two or more partners in the past 12 months, 22% of males and almost 70% of females reported being tested. And finally, of those who did not use a condom at last sexual intercourse, 30% of males and almost 90% of females reported having been tested. So across the board, those who reported engaging in higher risk behavior also reported higher rates of testing than the overall population. We also looked at testing by race and ethnicity and found that African Americans had higher rates of testing than those of other racial and ethnic groups, with approximately equal percentages of males and females, about 60% each, reporting having been tested in the past year. So what does this show? STD screening of sexually active adolescents overall is lower than desired, particularly among females. As mentioned previously, it is the recommendation that all sexually active females under the age of 25 be screened on an annual basis. And also, this is lower than desired, particularly in light of the data that Dr. Forehand just presented. However, our estimate of 42% in females is consistent with previous estimates from other surveys and from HEDIS. But we did find encouraging evidence that self-reported STD testing is higher among high-risk adolescents. And this could be due to a number of factors. It could be self-selection. Adolescents who engage in high-risk behaviors are more likely to seek out testing. It could be that providers are conducting risk assessments and selectively testing those who are higher risk. Or it could also be an artifact due to reporting bias. It may be that adolescents who are willing to report having been STD tested are also more willing to report high-risk sexual behavior. So we do need further study to look into this association. I'd like to address some of the limitations of these data. First of all, we did see low response rates, and they've actually been falling over the years, and that may affect the representativeness of the sample. This is an issue with all telephone-based surveys. I'd also like to address the issue of parental permission. 33%, a third of sampled adolescents, did not receive permission, and it's a little bit unclear how this may bias the results, but we did see that respondents were slightly different from non-respondents on certain demographic factors, namely socioeconomic ones. They were of slightly higher socioeconomic status. Also, the estimates of sexual activity are lower in CHIS than we've seen in other surveys. Recall that 20% of our adolescent sample reported having been sexually active in the past year. And in national surveys like the YRBS and the National Survey of Family Growth, we've seen rates closer to 50%. So this does lead to concerns about the representativeness of these data. Also, cell phone-only households were not sampled in 2005, and data excluded adolescents in institutionalized living facilities and those living without a parent or legal guardian. Also, respondents may not have had complete privacy during the interview, and STD testing may be misclassified as adolescents may not accurately recall their true testing history. Finally, these data are cross-sectional, and therefore causal relationships cannot be determined. So we have a couple of recommendations about the use of large state-specific population-based telephone surveys. We recommend that they be used in conjunction with other data sources to inform local action. Because of the limitations of these surveys, they're better used as a supplement to other sources or as a hypothesis-generating tool rather than as the sole basis for program action. We also recommend considering additional methods of population-based data collection, including smaller-scale local surveys targeted specifically to adolescents, which may be more realistic given some budgets. And if they're modeled after the YRBS, they may address some of the limitations of telephone surveys. We also recommend comprehensive follow-up of telephone non-responders, and where possible, door-to-door rather than telephone-based surveys. And in fairness to CHIS, they are going to be doing door-to-door follow-up of their telephone non-responders starting in 2009. They're going to be doing door-to-door follow-up with a sample of non-responders in order to address falling response rates. And finally, we recommend the use of a CASI technology for sensitive subjects like sexual behavior in order to limit bias in responses. And I'd like to acknowledge my colleagues at the UCLA Center for Health Policy. Please feel free to contact me for further information, and the CHIS website is also on here if you'd like to look into that. That's a very good, why do you think sexual activity was so low in the sample? We've actually really struggled with this issue. For one thing, there's the permissions issue. It may be that parents who give permission have lower risk adolescents. It also may be that adolescents are answering the survey while their parents are sitting in the room listening. but we can only speculate.